Beloveds, alleluia, Christ the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Please be seated. Perhaps you've already discovered the Easter eggs that were laid out for you to find. Make sure you're not sitting on them. How many of us have ever participated in an Easter egg hunt? Some, but not all. I didn't get to do more than a couple of those when I was a kid, but I loved them. It was exciting to catch a glimpse of color peeking out from the greenery or hiding in plain sight, and you make that wonderful discovery. For me, it was as much fun to search for them as it was to eat them. It's a wonderful thing to watch the little ones so focused as they walk carefully through the yard. They don't miss a thing. And sometimes they find hiding places no one even knew was there. Kids are very smart. Do you remember being that excited about discovering these little special eggs? What was it like for you? Was it an indoor activity or was it an outdoor activity? Did you have to wait for the younger ones to go out and collect a few first before you got to be sent out? What were the eggs like for you? I may be dating myself, but I can recall a time before foil-wrapped chocolate eggs, long before the reusable two-piece plastic eggs that you put stuff in and you click them shut. A really special part of the Easter celebration was dyeing hard-boiled eggs. Did you do that? I'm hearing a lot of mm-hmms. That was fun. I thought the actual eggs were prettier and more delicious. Maybe those Easter eggs don't really do it for you. They don't bring up the happy memories. But maybe you're drawn to a different kind of egg. Perhaps a gilded Fabergé egg is more your style. The first 50 Imperial Easter eggs were created by artist Peter Carl Fabergé in 1886. The first was known as the hen egg. It was crafted from gold, and then it was coated with an opaque white enamel so that it looked like an ordinary egg, but it had this gold, delicate gold band all the way around it, which indicated that it could be opened. And when it was, it revealed the first Easter surprise. Inside was a bright yellow yolk made of gold. This also opened, revealing the second surprise. Within it was a multicolored, superbly carved, multicolored golden hen. And guess what? You could open that too. And when you did, you got the third surprise for Easter. Originally, the hen contained a miniature diamond replica of the imperial crown, from which was suspended a tiny ruby pendant shaped like an egg. But you couldn't open that one. It stopped there. Can you imagine what it was like to open that egg for the first time? As it turns out, the purpose of the gift was more than just an extravagant show of wealth. It was given to distract the recipient from a very turbulent time. Amidst death threats, violence, and great social unrest, this little egg did its job of giving the receiver a moment of peace in a very not peaceful time. Like the chocolate treats and tiny toys that children look for in our colored plastic Easter eggs, even the great jeweled masterpieces contained that much sought-after treasure. In the case of the hen egg, the treasure was greater than the priceless materials it was made out of. The real treasure was in the love expressed by the giver and the desire to help soothe her soul from the strife all around, even for just a little while. There's something about the hidden promise inside an egg that that is so compelling. There are several reasons we use eggs in symbolic language at this time of year. Eggs represent new birth and new life, which works well for the idea of new life in Christ's resurrection. In Greek mythology, Kronos, the personification of time, produced an egg from which the world's creator emerged. This, too, fits well with Christ as the second person of the creator of all things. In Australian Aboriginal Dreamtime, the egg was the symbol of light. When Dinawan, the emu, quarreled with Brogla, the dancing bird, Brogla angrily grabbed an egg from Dinawan's nest and launched it into the sky, and it broke open, and the gold yolk caught fire and was transformed into a dazzling sun that illuminated the hitherto darkened world. In much the same way, we celebrate Easter with the new fire and a dazzling light emerging to illumine a darkened world. More than 2,500 years ago, eggshells were decorated as part of spring rituals in Africa and elsewhere to symbolize growth and life. By the late 13th century, ostrich eggs, which had first hung in mosques to symbolize light and life, began to appear in Christian churches. They were featured in Easter ceremonies. These little orbs are quite powerful, universal symbols. But there's another feature to eggs that I want to share with you, one that speaks to our particular time and place. The hunt for these little Easter eggs is important. What's contained within them is a mystery. There isn't a specific promise that there will be anything in them, but hope is a powerful thing. Simply observe the single-pointed mission of the children as they seek out wherever they are to reveal what's in them. There is something to the pure goodness of hope in an Easter egg hunt. St. Augustine said, "Hope is compared to an egg, for hope has not yet arrived at attainment. An egg is something, but not yet. Hope, therefore, exhorts us to this. Wait for things to come. We should place hope in those things which are not yet given, but sometime will be given and will never pass away." There is great hope in things yet to come, so elegantly and so perfectly illustrated with an egg. There are several surprises for us to find in the resurrection story. We peel back one layer after another in our gospel. There are treasures to be discovered within the stone shell of the tomb. There are treasures revealed when we emerge from our shells into the light of God's love. I believe the apostle Mary Magdalene had hope. Within a hardened shell of grief was the soft center of nothing less than hope and an unfailing trust in divine love. But Mary was trapped in her shell. The text tells us that there were two angels who addressed her from inside the tomb. Yet even though this first egg was opened for her to experience, she doesn't seem to have found them or seen them for what they were. Jesus himself appears to Mary, but even though she looks right at him, the eyes of her heart are still encased in the tomb. The questions asked of Mary by the angels and by Jesus become cracks in the shell which enable her to emerge. Struggling like a hatchling to get out into the light of life, Mary manages to open the shell. For Mary, faith, hope, and love become dazzlingly apparent when she's finally able to turn both her head and her heart out from the darkness of the tomb. She is finally able to emerge fully into new life. When Mary breaks through her shell of grief, look what happens to the good news of our risen Savior. St. Augustine suggests that there's something more. That Mary emerged from her shell, the walls she put up around herself to protect herself from the violence and the pain she experienced all around her, walls she thought would protect her from further harm. Love coaxes her out from this place of despair. Mary Magdalene experiences the hope of the resurrection fulfilled and the revelation of divine love in the resurrection of Christ. Fabergé never made an egg as glorious as this. What happens when we acknowledge our risen Savior? We witness the story of the risen Lord. We understand that we're living in a time of both unlimited hope and darkness yearning for light. So what do we do now? To you who witnessed the emergence of Christ from his tomb and are called to live into all that he teaches us, to what will you be hatched? The book of Jeremiah says, the Lord says, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." Friends, God is standing here, like children gathered around an egg incubator, watching as we emerge from our shells. We may not yet know to what we are hatching, but God does. Just like children who watch excitedly while little chicks emerge, God knows what kind of place we're stepping out of and what kind of place we're stepping into. God has created a world for us to experience, and in it continually reveals treasures hidden within us to manifest peace, hope, and love. Within each of us is something inside waiting to be discovered, something powerful and good that will bring joy and hope to those around us. In truth, just as Jesus' resurrection could not have been stopped, neither can we ever stop whatever it is that God has hidden within us that brings light and peace to the world. Friends, the world needs you. And that fabulous, beautiful, dazzling, glorious hope that is within you. But maybe we're too much like Mary Magdalene sometimes. We hide our gifts within, too afraid of what's out there. Mary was afraid of getting hurt once more. Understandable. She might have chosen to stay locked inside herself. Sometimes chicks take a really long time to emerge from their eggs. But here's the thing with both of those images. If Mary hadn't interacted with the angels and with the gardener, if she'd stayed within the walls of her own making, she would have died in darkness. If a chick gives up, even if partway out of its egg, it will not survive. Both Mary Magdalene and baby chicks and you have to emerge fully into the light of day and do whatever it is God has put you here to do in the service of the resurrection, in the love of Christ, and for the hope of the world. The resurrection is not simply an historical event, though it's recorded as such. It's mystical, but it's not trapped in mystery. It's theological, but it's not bound by the academy. The resurrection is experiential, which is why we can recall the events with such detail every year, and still it has meaning. The resurrection is all of these things. The present is an egg laid in the past with a future within its shell. We live in a resurrection time. We are those disciples in the upper room to whom Christ returned and blessed. Like them, we must be hatched year after year and sent into the world to share the good news. C.S. Lewis said, "We are like eggs at present, and you cannot go on indefinitely being just an ordinary, decent egg. We must be hatched or go bad." We are hatched more gloriously than a gilded egg. We contain riches greater than jewels and gold. We contain within ourselves the very image of God. What faith, what hope, what love will you illumine with your light of Christ? God has already placed a marvelous, precious treasure within each of you, and it's up to you to search it out. Hopefully, you'll do so with the same excitement and delight as a child being sent on an Easter egg hunt. An important part of Easter is the search for what emerges from mystery. Whether that search leads us toward the risen Jesus or to the gift of God hidden within each of us, we declare, the Lord has risen indeed. Alleluia. You know, Peter Carl Fabergé made 50 of these magnificent imperial eggs. We can account for only 43 of them. 7 are still missing. The most recently discovered missing egg was sold for millions of dollars. Do you think discovering the risen Christ is more valuable than all 7 of those remaining eggs? Do you think the treasure that God has hidden within you is more valuable than 7 imperial eggs? I do. I can see your treasures shining through you, even from here. Blessed are those for whom Easter is not a hunt, but a find. Blessed are those for whom Easter is not merely a proclamation, but a greeting. Blessed are those for whom Easter is not merely an outward fashion, but an inward grace. Blessed are those for whom Easter is not merely a day or a season, but a lifetime. Alleluia. Christ is risen.